Hello, welcome back to Dive In, the radio ministry of Deeper Life Fellowship in Mobile, Alabama. I'm Pastor Mark Wyatt. Today, we continue a wonderful and very interesting discussion with Peter Paris, author of a new book, The Truth of the Gospel, Exposing False Gospels in Anti-Biblical Practice and Beliefs. At the end of the broadcast today, I'll tell you how you can get a copy of this book absolutely free. Let's rejoin our discussion now with Peter Paris.
As we're talking then about the victorious Christian life, the opportunity and the availability of power for Christians to live above sin, much more than they thought they ever had. Well, how does this tie into the traditional interpretation of Romans 6, 7, and 8, where Paul is seen to talk about, where Paul says, the verse you've heard so often, people say, well, the things that I want to do, I don't do, the things I don't want to do, I find myself doing. How can we read those scriptures and yet be assured that there is more power, more victory, more triumph for us as Christians than we thought before?
Well, again, it's so odd that people sort of pick and choose what they want to live according to, and some people take great refuge in Romans 7. Well, I wish they'd take refuge in the first four verses, or in verse 6. preceding Romans 7 are six chapters, and not in the least chapter 6 itself. As a successor to Romans 7, there's Romans 8. And if you want Paul's testimony of where he is as a Christian, it won't be found in his record of when he was in the flesh, which Romans 7 verse 5 is when we were in the flesh. It's the motions of sin that worked in us, and sin became exceedingly sinful, and so on. And that argument goes through because there's no chapter breaks. Now, this wasn't a series of chapters. This was a letter. And so what we have now broken down into Romans 6, 7, and 8, Romans 7, verse 5, when we were in the flesh, and then you get the relationship of the flesh to the law. And it produces wretched man that I am. But by the time you get to the end of the chapter, there's victory in Christ. And then, of course, beginning chapter 8, there's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. And by the time you get to verse 9, it's however, you are not in the flesh and in the Spirit. So if you take Romans 7 verse 5, he says, when we were in the flesh, Romans 8 verse 9, however. And in between that is this whole argument of the relationship of the flesh to the law.
So you're saying then, Peter, that being in the flesh then, in context of Romans, is talking about before we know Christ.
Yes,
before,
and even though
we're regenerated.
He puts it in the first person, and they say that must be talking about it. This is where the ignorance of Scripture. There are verses of Scripture where Paul testifies of his conscience being blameless before God, the Holy Spirit bearing witness to his conscience. And he says there in the Acts of the Apostles, exercise myself to maintain a conscience void of offense between God and man. So this man of the blameless conscience, this man who says, gives himself as an example and says, follow me. The man who says to the Corinthians, stop sinning and awake to righteousness. The man that says to Timothy, keep yourself pure. How could he say, but as for me, you know, I'm impure, I can't ever do any of these things, you know, what I want to do, I can't do, and what I don't want to do, right. I do. No, that's when we were in the flesh. However, we're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And by the Spirit of God, Christ in us enables us not to sin. That doesn't mean to say that any of us ever become perfect yet. But when John says, if any man sin, we have an advocate with God. Thank you, Jesus. Because then we have cleansing from all unrighteousness. But John himself says, these things I write unto you, that you sin not.
Mm. Now, I know we have listeners today who have maybe at time past gotten comfort and identified with Paul and that saying, as they've been taught, well, Paul struggled, I struggle. You know, I know I have these things in my life that I don't want to do. I find they're too big for me, but that's the way Paul was too. Well, if that wasn't what Paul was saying about his own experience with Christ, What do we say then to the Christians, to the believers who have wonderful hearts and who really love the Lord, who are listening today, who don't want to struggle anymore, who want to achieve over that?
It's a matter of being instructed in what are the provisions of the new covenant. And one of the provisions of the new covenant is Christ in you. One of the provisions of the new covenant. That's the whole thing in essence. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's different than I can do nothing. And so of myself, yeah, I may not be able to do it, but I'm not left to myself. Christ comes into my heart and life and being and is formed in me. That's a glorious truth. This takes us beyond what we are naturally capable of doing. It's all to do with the nature of the new birth.
You know, it reminds me, I've heard, again, our friend Bill Johnson, I have to quote again here, who says, we hear people say, you know, without Christ, I'm nothing. And that's true, but the good news is you'll never be without him again.
Exactly. See, Paul says, who is sufficient for these things? And we're not sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves. Well, he doesn't leave it there. He says, our sufficiency is of God. And so there's a whole new dimension of revelation in the scriptures that are given to us to grant us to know the nature of our new birth.
How then, Peter, does that translate into our experience as we live life and as we experience temptation and things that may have been too much for us before? How does the reality of our new nature and our new birth then translate into victory in our daily walk?
Well, it gives us a revelation. Say, hey, this Achilles heel, this weakness that always was my besetting sin, I always bowed down to it. It always walked over me. What can I do about that? Well, now you can arise and you can now walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You can put on Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust thereof. So there are a plentitude of scripture that enables the Christian to say, I'm not who I was. I am now who I am in Christ and Christ in me. I'm a new creature. I was not a child of God. I am a child of God. So how did that new birth ever happen? And what's the implications of being born of God? If our natural genes have got so much power over who we are naturally, even to what we look like, isn't it incredible to think that when you're born again, you're born of divine genes. Mm-hmm. You become a partaker of God's nature, divine nature. And God's genes are much more powerful than Adam's.
Well, if this is true, this new nature, new birth, new covenant, if it's true, which obviously I believe it is, that it translates into victory in our experience, that seems to be good news for me. Which I've always told is what gospel means, right?
Yes. And isn't it not the rule of Christ, which the kingdom? In England, coming from England, I live in the United States now and have lived here for 30 years. But in England, we have a monarch, mon meaning one, arch meaning chief. Mm-hmm. So monarch is right. One chief. Well, that's what a king and queen is supposed to be. The contradiction of what we have in what is called the United Kingdom is that we have a monarch, but with a democratic rule. Mm. So we vote for who we want to be our rulers. Everyone loves to wave to the Queen as she goes by in her Rolls Royce, and one would hope she would look in your direction and give you the royal wave. But if she was to try and legislate, there would be uproar. Why? Because she's a figurehead, and the power of legislation is with the people. Well, the kingdom of England is not like the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
We haven't got a puppet head or someone who's a tourist attraction. We have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and it is Christ's reign and now on earth through his people who are his body. And he calls the shots. Thy will be done. And so Jesus is the ruler, and he doesn't rule by popular opinion. He rules.
It strikes me, Peter, that even the term United Kingdom may be a bit of an oxymoron in earthly terms, but it's a bit redundant in terms of the kingdom of God, wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely. And the kingdom of God is really that. It's the domain of the king. And this immediately puts us back to what's the center of the focus of what we're saying. Yes, it's a demonstration of the risen, glorified Christ on the earth through his people. That's how his kingdom comes on earth.
Well, I hope you're enjoying this discussion with Peter Paris about his new book, The Truth of the Gospel, Exposing False Gospels and Anti-Biblical Practice and Belief. We have a copy of this book for you, our listener. If you would like a copy absolutely free, then I'll tell you in just a moment how you can contact us, and we will be happy to send that out to you. You know, in this broadcast today, Peter and I were discussing more of what it means to be part of the kingdom of God, the rule and reign of God, and to have that new nature. And I just wanted to encourage you today that there really is more than probably you've ever known about God's rule and reign and what he wants to do in your life and in my life and in the lives of those that we touch, the lives of those around us. You know, in Ephesians, the Bible says that we, the church, are the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. So as the body of Christ on the earth, as Peter was saying in this segment of the interview, I so agree that as the body of Christ, God wants to extend his rule and reign into people's lives through us as believers. And if we can agree that God is good, and he's good all the time, then I think we can agree that living submitted to his rule, his reign, to his will in our lives, letting God have his way, is a really good thing. You know, it's what, it's kind of the same thing, but a little bit bigger, of what we've talked about before in the body of Christ over the years of lordship and surrender, themes that are dear to my heart, and I love those. But you know what that is? That was simply a precursor, I think, to our growing understanding now of the presence of the kingdom of God on the earth, the immediate availability. Now, we believe there's more to come. You know, there's a now of the kingdom, and there's a not yet of the kingdom. There is a time coming where the rule and reign of God, the kingdom of God, will come in fullness, and it'll just take over all the earth, and it'll be a wonderful thing. But until then, I think there's more of the rule and reign of God available to us in our experience, in our lives. There's more of it available to us now than we ever thought before. There's more victory. There's more power. There's more ability to live over sin, you know, to not be slaves of sin anymore, to not let it rule us, as the Bible says. So I just want to encourage you today. Can I pray for you for just a moment? Then I'm going to tell you how you can get a copy of this book. But I'd just like to pray for you. Father, I pray right now for everyone who's listening to this broadcast today. Lord, I pray that you would reveal your presence with them right now. We know you're already present because you are everywhere. You are omnipresent. So, Father, my prayer is that you would reveal your presence to them in a way that they would know how close you are right now and how incredibly much you love them right now. Father, reveal yourself. Let your kingdom, your rule and reign come in their lives, in this moment, in every situation, and let your will be done. Let it be in their lives on earth like it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, thank you for listening today. If you'd like a free copy of this book, you can email us, radio@deeperlifefellowship.com. That's radio@deeperlifefellowship.com. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.